John 15:1-8. The allegory of the vine and the branches. Now, with an allegory, as with a parable, we have to find the main point and stick to that. Not to try and push every incidental of the story or the illustration beyond its proper limit. I am the true vine, says Christ, and my Father is the gardener, and you, my people, speaking to his disciples, are the branches. Here is a clear allusion, connection with the Old Covenant. Isaiah 5, God uses this allegory to speak of Israel in the Old Covenant. Christ is clearly setting out the New Covenant equivalent for the New Israel. I am the true vine, you are the branches. The doctrinal parallel passage would be something like Romans 7:4-6, marriage to Christ and fruitfulness to Christ. And Christ is speaking of his true believing disciples. Verse 3, you are clean, already clean, because of the word I have spoken to you. That takes us back to chapter 13, verse 10. You are clean, but not all of you. Referring to Judas Iscariot. Christ is referring here to those who are true believers. He is speaking of them, not only in his presence then, but even today. All who are in Christ, all who are true believers, are joined to Christ as the vine, the branches, bearing fruit. Let me just, in this very brief discourse, pick out some of the leading points as I see them here. The first point is this, that Christ himself is the vine. I am the true vine. Verse 5, I am the vine. Christ is the vine. I emphasize this. It is Christ. It is not church. It is not confession. It is not denomination. It is not religion. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. He himself is the vine. The saints, the second point, the believers, verse 3, those who are already clean because of the word spoken to them by Christ, who will be washed in his precious blood, which he will shed within a few hours now. These saints are the branches. Verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. And the point of the allegory, the point of growing a vine, is to bear fruit, fruitfulness, the fruitfulness of the vine. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Well, every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. I refer to Romans 7:4-6. That speaks of marriage, the bearing of children, the bearing of fruit. If you go into chapter 8 of Romans, you will find that the apostle explains that this is Christ-likeness. This is conformity to Christ. And therefore the apostle, in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17 and 18, urges believers to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. The fruitfulness is Christ-likeness, spiritual fruit, the vine, the branches, and the result is the fruitfulness of the vine. Well, how does the vine bear fruit? Well, it's through the union between the branches and the vine. There has to be a living union. It's here it's pictured as a brain. It's pictured elsewhere as the body. The union here is pictured as a marriage, as I say, in Romans 7, 4 to 6. The vine here, the sap, the life, the vigor of the vine flowing out through the branches, out to the fruit, and bearing fruitfulness. But there are two aspects to this, how the vine bears fruit. God does his part. Verse 1, my Father is the gardener. Verse 2, he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. He prunes the branches that do bear fruit, so that the vine will be even more fruitful. God is pruning, caring, tending the vine. But the saint also, the child of God, has his part. Verse 4 and verse 7. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. As a believer, I must remain in Christ. And verse 7. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. I must remain in Christ, and Christ's words must remain in me. I must read Christ's words, learn Christ's words, know Christ's words, understand Christ's words, and obey Christ's words, and love Christ's words. And it's prayer, too. Of course, there's a tremendous promise here. Ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. There's obviously a condition here, a limit here. We ask in Christ's name according to the will of God. I'm only giving brief seed thoughts in this discourse. But prayer, scripture, remaining in Christ, and God tending, and cultivating, and pruning my life so that I am fruitful for Christ. This is the picture here. And of course the Spirit flowing through the vine, the sap, the Spirit is in and through the vine and the branches, all producing fruit. And what is the ultimate end of this vine bearing fruit? Verse 8, this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. This is the testimony, this is the witness, this is the evangelism method, if you like. If there's no such thing as method, but this is the way God speaks through the church, through his disciples, through the saints, through believers, by their fruitfulness, their likeness to Christ. There is a warning here. I've mentioned it once or twice already. Verse 2 and verse 6. God cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Verse 6, if anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. The illustration is very clear to me. As I had mentioned already, chapter 13. There are those who look as though they're in the vine, but they're not. Look as though they're united to Christ, but they are not. To be in Christ is the essential here. Union with Christ. Trusting Christ. In Christ is one of the most common phrases in the New Testament. And it's not a space filler, a word phrase meaning nothing. It's full of meaning. It's pregnant with meaning. It's powerful. In Christ, union with Christ, joined to Christ. The moment a sinner trusts Christ, he is in union with Christ. Romans chapter 6 is the doctrinal, theological section to explain this. But there are those who look as though they are. The Judas was one. They associate with believers. They're sort of tied on to the vine, but they bear no fruit. There's a warning here, then, to us today. And I must issue this warning, and I want to now. If you are not in Christ, if you're not really trusting him, you may be in the church, you may be joined to the church. You may be a Presbyterian, a Baptist, or whatever. You may be in the pulpit, in the seminary. You may be any connection like this. You may have every connection like this. But unless you are in Christ, you are fruitless and will be thrown away. There's a warning here, then. Make sure that you're in Christ. I keep holding this before you. And if you are not yet in Christ, turn to him now, trust him, cry out to him. The moment the sinner repents and believes, he is one with Jesus and one with him forever. So here is the allegory then of the vine. Christ is the center, the core. He is the vine. He is all. Look to Christ, not to religion, not to confession, not to church, not to denomination. There are the saints, those who are in Christ, joined to Christ by faith. They bear fruit, likeness to Christ, all for the glory of God. And how will it be? God pruning, chastising, caring for, teaching, ruling, governing. And the saint remaining in Christ, looking to Christ, trusting Christ, persevering in Christ, praying, obeying the word of Christ, the words of Christ, as he says, my words, verse 7. The ultimate end, as I say, is the glory of God, the praise of the triune God. But there's a warning here. Don't just be tied onto the vine. Be joined to Christ. If you're not joined to Christ, mere profession is not enough. There is no fruit from being stuck on with sellotape or tied on with string. There must be the living, vital union with Jesus, which comes through living faith in him. May God bless these thoughts. They are just seed thoughts. May we develop them in our thinking, apply them in our lives. Those of us who are saints, may we remain in Jesus, yield to the discipline of our Father, look to Christ, remain in his words, obey his words. May we grow in grace and the knowledge and likeness of our Lord Jesus Christ, and our experience of him, conformity to him, all for the glory of God. And once more, if you are not yet in Christ, come into him now. Pause, my soul, and ask the question, art thou ready to meet God? Am I made a real Christian, washed in the Redeemer's blood? Have I union? Have I union with the church's living head? So wrote and asked William Gadsby. And I ask you, if you don't have union with Christ, be joined to him by faith now.